In any Catholic church, there is one candle snuffer and countless boxes of matches, long-necked lighters, votives, candelabras, stands. For all its danger, which makes us remember the years 1788 and 1792 in our city, both the upstairs lounge and the Montgomery Grace House, fire still finds its way into the church, a church with one snuffer and countless matches. Fire comes together again this weekend with the ignition of two feasts, Pentecost and Joan of Arc. We knew we would hear of those lapping tongues of fire in our Acts of the Apostles' first reading, the image of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the beginnings of the church. Perhaps, though, we didn't expect Joan in the room. 1400 years, the apostle's junior, a child in that scene and in her life. One ended at the age of 19 by fire, burned at the stake after being branded a heretic. Joan's feast day is today, May 30th, and this year is the 100th anniversary of her 1920 canonization, a post-World War I lifting to the altar of the great female general. Fire is dangerous. It's said that poor Joan didn't meet her end with a St. Lawrence-like bravado, his legendary, perhaps imagined line, "Turn me over, this side is done," as he was being grilled to death. But rather, Joan cried. She suffered. She stared longingly at two sticks she had fashioned into a cross after a crucifix was denied her by the ecclesiastical court. There's the fire of Joan's end, but there's also, and I think much more significantly, the fire of Joan's life, something like the fire of the church's beginning. A young, simple, country peasant becomes the commander of France's armies at the age of 17, helps break the stalemate of the Hundred Years' War, and stays faithful to what she grasped as her divine call. She ministered with fire, not just through an attacking battle style, but through her very being, rallying and encouraging to a cause bigger than herself without ever making it about herself. After crowning Charles VII, the story goes, Joan was promised anything she desired, and she asked only for her village to have its taxes forgiven and to continue to serve God and King as she was doing. To burn so brightly, to burn so simply, that is Pentecost. Now, but wait a minute, we can think, fire is dangerous. Why is it a woman who gave such prophetic witness nearly 600 years ago is only celebrating 100 years of canonization? If the fiery life is so beautiful, why is it often so brief? Why was Joan excommunicated and then killed, 25 years later rehabilitated and declared a martyr? Why is Joan co-opted both by far-right nationalists in this day, who celebrate around her statue annually in Paris, and far-left feminists, who often describe her as beyond sexuality, androgynous, modern, both seeing her in their own images? Napoleon used her face on coins to celebrate his strength, the U.S. War Commission on posters to advertise our war bonds. To play with fire means you will get burned and certainly misunderstood. And yet, no matter how dangerous fire is, no matter what history brings to light, no matter how members of the church even light a fire and burn a saint. Fire is our image of the Spirit today. A church has only one snuffer, but countless matches. Having received the gift of the Spirit, the apostles emerge today like one of Joan's cannonball attacks. There's something burning in them, vital in them, moving fast in them. And this fire isn't just for times past or for safely preserved eternal flames. It's for us who have received the Spirit's kiss in the sacraments, for us who have the church's teachings in order to act. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit, St. Paul tells us. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. A church has one snuffer, but countless matches. Look around. See something burning, something vital, something moving fast in each other, in ourselves. One final sight of this, as we breathe in Jesus's fiery, spirited breath in our gospel, the greatest writer our country has ever known, Peter Finney Jr., Mark Twain, considered his greatest personal work to be his personal recollections on Joan of Arc. The skeptic who would write about travels in Italy, quote, "We were in the heart and home of priestcraft, of a happy, cheerful, contented ignorance, superstition, degradation, poverty, indolence, and everlasting, unaspiring worthlessness." Later could muse, "If I ever change my religion, I shall change it to that." Twain didn't suffer a fool well and met many in his encounters with self-described Catholics. But he also met those with a focus and a fire. He also met our dear Joan. As he concludes his favorite book, "Love, mercy, charity, fortitude, war, peace, poetry, music, these may be symbolized as any shall prefer by figures of either sex and of any age. But a slender girl in her first young bloom, with the martyr's crown upon her head and in her hand the sword that severed her country's bonds, shall not this and no other stand for patriotism throughout all the ages until time shall end? Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. With fire in our lungs, fire in our belly, this Pentecost day, this 100th anniversary of Saint Joan of Arc, we're reminded, despite its dangers, we need the Spirit's flames. A church has only one snuffer, but countless matches.